As I alluded to earlier, because of the things going on in the congregation, I felt led to head in a different direction this morning. Yesterday morning when I got up, there was just something heavy on my heart to say and share, and so we will head down that way, and I appreciate your prayers. As I said, we had a wonderful time in Belize, and as I've said, it's almost too much to process all that went on. But we would be remiss, and it would be improper if we were to be the type of church that ran off to all of these far-flung places. Harlan, Kentucky can be considered far-flung, couldn't it? Probably. And care for these people and do the things of which I know God has called us to do. But we would be improper if we concentrated on that and didn't take care of our church. Didn't take care of the people within our church. And I am not pointing fingers and saying you're not, because many of you are. But today I wanted to do part of that. Care for the church. And care for the people in the church. Because we have families within the church who have been affected in some very diverse ways. Affected differently, but going through some pains, going through some challenges, going through some heartaches, going through some unknowns that we need to tend to. And so I want to try to do that here this morning from Scripture. Because our first solace, our first balm of medication, our first covering and our first place to gain comfort should always be from the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know Him best through His Word. And so I want to try to offer words of encouragement to you. Those of you who have lost jobs because of the economic situation, those of you who have had to lay off people in your company because of the economic situation, I encourage you. We live in a world of money and economics, but this is not our world. And so we have to have minds and eyes eternally focused. And sometimes it's just a matter of making it through the day. Some of you are facing changes that I pray for God's wisdom and care and comfort for you as you go through these. Some of you are facing medical situations where there are some unknowns, and that scary C word has popped up that always takes us back when we hear it. I know moms are praying for their children, that this is just hard. And so this morning I want to try to add to and help with the comfort that you are giving each other. I know the phone calls have already started. I know the encouragements have already started and they will continue. But I want to help you this morning from God's Word. I first want to read to you from a portion of Isaiah chapter 49. And here the nation of Israel has been in captivity. Their whole world, their whole economic structure was ripped from beneath them, and they were given a new culture. But God did not leave them. And so here in Isaiah 49, we begin at verse 8, just to quickly read here. In the time of my favor, I will answer you. In the day of salvation, I will help you. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people to restore the land and to reassign its desolate inheritances. To say to the captives, come out, and to those in darkness, be free. They will feed beside the roads and find pasture on every barren hill. They will neither hunger nor thirst, nor will the desert heat or sun beat upon them. He who has compassion on them will guide them and lead them beside springs of water. I will turn all my mountains into roads, and my highways will be raised up, simply meaning transport to Him will not be violated in any way, and there will be open course. See, they will come from afar, some from the north, some from the west, and some from the region of Aswan. Shout for joy, O heavens, rejoice, O earth. Burst into song, O mountains, for the Lord comforts His people and will have compassion on His afflicted ones. Now, in context, this is written to the nation of Israel so long ago, but it is recorded in Scripture and passed down through history by the power of the Holy Spirit. So it is, in fact, for the church today. So just as the Israelite would have heard these words from the prophet Isaiah, hear these words from the prophet Isaiah to you today. So wherever you might find yourself, listen carefully and listen closely. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people. So not only will God comfort His people, but He will actually use you as an instrument to manifest His covenant among the people. Today in Sunday school class, we talked about the church being an inheritance of the people. We are an inheritance to each other. You are part of my inheritance because I'm a believer. I am part of your inheritance because you are a believer. We are to commune. We are to work together. We are to care for each other. And so here, Jesus, God's saying to His people, I will cause my covenant, the bond of unity that holds you together, to not only hold you together, but actually manifest itself so that it becomes an even stronger bond in your time of affliction. He said, they will come from afar. And then He calls on you to shout for joy and rejoice, O earth. Burst into song, O mountains. Now, those of you who are directly affected by whatever situation you might find yourself in, to ask you to break out into songs of joy would be a bit challenging right now. But the joy is not coming from the circumstance you find yourself in. The joy comes from knowing that God has made you a promise. He said, I will not leave you, nor will I forsake you, nor will I ever leave you, even unto the end of the age. So wherever you might find yourself and you might think, oh, I'm here by myself. No. God is with you. And most of the time, God is with you through the church people who surround you and the family that loves you so much. Paul wrote a bit of this in 2 Corinthians. Is a passage that is really special to me. After Marley died, my dad wrote this passage. My dad's got a third grade education, and so his handwriting is a little rough. But he wrote this entire passage out on a card and sent it to me. So it's very particular for me. And I've shared it with you before, but I want to share it with you again because it calls on us to do something very particular. And this is challenging, but this is God's Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and your salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffered. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our suffering, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffer in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. How many of you have prayed for someone else in the church you know is going through a hard time and you've prayed this week? Many of you. All of you. Many of you. All right, that's what Paul is saying do. But know this. Something else that's within this passage is that while we are in distress, it is for a reason. And sometimes that's hard to grab a hold of. In the confession, we profess that God has ordained all things, that nothing comes to pass that He has not ordained. So that means He has allowed the suffering you're going through right now. And again, that's sometimes just a little hard to take hold of. But if we confess a God who is sovereign, then there is nothing that passes, nothing will pass that will ever come outside His knowledge. So He knows exactly where you are right now. Even more than that, He is calling on you while you are in the midst of your troubles, in the midst of your distress, in the midst of the problem you find yourself in, to look above yourself. To look outside yourself and your situation and look to the people of God around you. Look to God Himself and say, Lord, I know this is You. And I know You have put me here. I know You have allowed the circumstances around me to be where it is and what it is now. So help me to bring glory to You in this. One of the hardest things to do is to discover how strong your faith is. And sometimes you don't discover how strong your faith is until it is questioned and tested to the nth degree. And some of you are right there. So I pray the Holy Spirit would empower you so that you would fight the good fight of faith. And that in your distress, in your place, that you would hold on to the hand of God and then look for opportunity where in the future you might be the one who comes alongside someone else and say, Brother, I've been right there. Let's talk. Better yet, let's pray that God would carry us all through. And you're doing that. Today is the first Sunday of Lent, and we have this opportunity to share in communion. This table represents so many things, sometimes it's hard to put into words all that is represented by what we see here behind me. But today we're going to concentrate on one part. And it's the same idea of distress. Our Lord Jesus Christ was distressed to such a degree that in the book of Isaiah it said He was flogged to such a degree He didn't even look human anymore. But in His distress, He prayed. As Tony said in his sermon last week, He prayed for you. He prayed that you might be glorified by His distress. So not only did Paul write that we should use our distress to encourage other people, the Lord Jesus Christ actually lived it and did it Himself. Because in His distress, He brought the greatest comfort we will ever know. And you first go, yes, our salvation. But I want to look at another area today. Join me in John chapter 15. 16, excuse me. John 16, verse 7. Our Lord Jesus Christ was distressed beyond anything that we will have to ever face. And He did it for a reason. He did it because His Father, God Almighty, wanted to redeem a people that He loved. And so Jesus Christ humbly submitted to the will of the Father, went to that cross, paid Your price, My price, so that we would be redeemed. But there's another reason He went to that cross. And John brings that out. Actually, John records as Jesus brings it out in verse 7 of chapter 16. He says, But I tell you the truth, it is good that I am going away. Meaning, it is good that I'm dying. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. Now, in the Greek, this word counselor is paraclete. Paraclete is one who comes along beside, intends to, while you are walking along your way. Many of you are operating, working, consoling as a paraclete as you send a card, as you make a call, as you pray for. You're coming alongside that person in the church who is in distress or in pain or facing surgery or whatever. But here the counselor is called a paraclete, one who comes alongside and tends to and ministers to. Well, in the older scriptures, this word is translated comforter rather than counselor. In the newer translations, they think counselor has a bigger connotation to it. But if you read the King James, you're going to read comforter. So this table represents our Lord Jesus dying for our sins, but it also represents Him being distressed and dying so that the greatest form of comfort you will ever know could come. And that is the Holy Spirit in us. Every one of you who profess a belief in Jesus Christ are houses of the Holy Spirit. And so the Comforter resides in us. How else would we ever be able to stand? How else would we ever live and survive the passing of a loved one? How could we make it through these challenging times if we did not have someone within us who is that Comforter? Jesus Christ said, "It is necessary for me to die and go, because if I do not go, the Comforter will not come." So please know that our Lord Jesus Christ not only prayed for you, He not only died on the cross for you and your salvation, He not only died to pay for our sins, He died so that you could have the greatest instrument of comfort this world will ever know. And it is the Holy Spirit. This table represents that. So those of you who are going through the trying times, remember, you're not there alone. First, the Holy Spirit's there. You carry the Holy Spirit into that operating room. You carry the Holy Spirit into those interviews you're going to be having with new jobs. And the Holy Spirit is there with you as you go through the walk of a funeral for a loved one. The Holy Spirit is there. And is comforting. And we, the church, will be there. Eddie and the girls are going to sing a song here in a few moments. You've probably heard it on the radio, "Bring the Rain," quite apropos for today. But in the song, it reflects a very mature Christian aspect that I want us to make sure we don't miss. And so I've asked for the lyrics of the song to be placed in your bulletin if you'd like to refer to those. But here, the song is saying, "Lord, if You are glorified in the troubled times, then bring them on." How many of you have ever prayed that? I didn't think I'd see many hands. Because it's not something we want to do. But think of this. Our job in the church is to do one thing, and that is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. So if everything we do is to glorify Him, then in our distress, we are not to stop the glorification. So here in this song, when we sing it, please understand that we are actually praying for the troubled times to come. Why? To see how strong I am? So I can show the world how much of a man I am and I can withstand all of this? No. No. Because just as Paul wrote and Jesus Himself said He was going to give, the Comforter in us has a wonderful knack of showing up and walking you through the distress, walking you through the hard times. And then I pray every one of you will say, "Praise the Lord." If Lord is glorified in my distress, then bring it on, because I know I can handle it, because I know I'm a child of God, and He won't do more than we can stand. But that takes an intellectual and a heartfelt position of being sound in your faith and in a belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't come easily. That doesn't come easily.